Hi, and welcome to another one of our broadcasts. And today I'd like to go into an understanding about the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives as branches on the vine. But before I do that, I want to thank all those who have been patrons of our little podcast here. For those who don't know, we offer additional podcasts for specifically learning how to become better prayer warriors, and more or less to transform your faith in God into a way in which you can become a more relatable person to God and see this whole thing as a relationship rather than just as a mere religion. And to have access to that, for those who would be interested, you can always go to the patron.podbeam.com /dtashlink. Put in a $5 a month contribution, and that will allow you access to these additional broadcasts. There are always going to be more added at this point in time because I'm trying to get a little bit over 60 different messages out there, which in my hope will help do that. And we'll be getting a few more up in the next week or two as time permits. But if you're interested in those additional broadcasts and or just want to help out, make sure that this podcast can still keep going strong and get out to all the people it needs to, we would love your support at the patron.podbeam.com /dtesh web link that you can find on our broadcast, which will be indicated in the comments section below. Now, the scripture that we're looking at today is 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, which basically reads, "The anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him." This is a very beautiful thought that's being conveyed to us by the Apostle John, the same apostle who wrote about the abide in me and I in you and be a branch on a vine idea, where he's just trying to give you this great ideal about what is the greatest benefit of abiding in Christ, abiding in God, abiding as a branch on the vine, instead of just doing it yourself, Christianity, as most people try. And it is simply that it's really getting into a realization that we're in a relationship with God. It's not just an external, God wants you to do something, and if you do, you do. If you don't, oh, you're in a bad situation. It's more of a relationship where he's part of what we're doing. We're doing this as workers with him, and this is something that he wants to kind of gives into your understanding so that you have this idea that you can grow and mature as a Christian day by day, hour by hour, and get into all the good stuff that it's that being a Christian is all about. And as you do this, you get into a much more intimate relationship standing with God. You get to learn what it is to truly be a friend of God. It impacts your prayer life. It impacts your outlook on living. It also makes being holy even more possible because you see yourself as cooperating with God in your holiness. You're not just trying to find something that's external. It's not a workout routine like going to a gym. It's actually part of your life. It's like breathing. It's something that just happens. You kind of get it from that perspective. And it's really understanding this that really gets into just how you can truly get to the full enjoyment of what life's really supposed to be. Because here, God's trying to let us know through the apostle that he longs for someone who can really be with him every moment of the day. This is what eternity is all about. It's actually being in the presence of God eternally. And that's what makes heaven heaven, is that we're there with God eternally. We're one with him in the sense of that being our home, that being who we are as a family member with him. But a lot of the problem comes in is a lot of people look at other things instead of God as the surety of their lifestyle and thing that which they base everything upon. And unfortunately, that kind of leaves you without much to fall back on when those things go awry, whether it be a parent or a life situation or a particular job that you're hoping to get or maintain, a promotion you're looking for. Those things can come and go, and all that kind of jazz that goes with it. In my own case, I pursued trying to look into the vocation of a priest, and it didn't quite work out the way I expected. I could have been all down and disappointed and bitter about the whole thing, and there's a certain level of bitterness about it that's still there. But the end result is not so much that kind of bitterness as it's realizing as I go forward in life that I'm really just walking with God. It's not about what I don't attain, it's where I'm headed. I've basically relayed a couple times this week about how I had to a conversation with a friend who didn't quite get the job experience that they were looking for, and they were kind of mad at God for it because they were just basically told by other people that they weren't going to move forward in this program. And I pointed out to them that those things aren't really what you're supposed to be going after in life, because everything leads you somewhere. And you have to see where you're being taken, what you're learning as you go through life. Because you can't be mad because you're not a bird and can't fly. There are birds, and then there are other animals out there. And you have to know who you are, what your limitations are, and accept those. I mean, sometimes you just don't know everything to be able to be a doctor or a brain surgeon or anything else, but you could know enough about those fields that you can go into something similar to it. You don't have to be an actor. You can be somebody behind the camera. It's not about where you end up. It's about the journey and what you find along the way. And that's how Christianity works. It's more than trying to find comfort in things that can't really give you lasting comfort. An alcoholic can find a great benefit from booze and drinking beer constantly, or a guy that smokes pot all the time can really find something really enjoyable about smoking it. But there comes a point in time where that bud, that drink is done, and that buzz is gone, and you're left with needing another hit or needing another drink or needing another something. And these are the things that we need to be aware of, is that the world doesn't really give you comfort. The things in the world don't give you comfort, whether it's people, whether it's things that you're looking for, whether it's a car, whether it's a $1 million. They can solve problems in a sense, but they're limited because once they've been used for something, they can't be used for something else. You can't buy a pizza with a $5 bill and then try to buy shoes 10 minutes later with that same $5 bill because it's not yours anymore. And that's what a lot of people miss when they go through life, is they don't become what they think they should become. And that's kind of a lesson I've had to learn, especially when the whole priesthood thing didn't work out for me, is that, God was leading me somewhere. There were people that I met as a result of going through that I would have never had contact with or had any kind of knowledge of, but it led me there so that I could meet those people and move on. And I, at the same respects, I also know that there may still be some kind of calling down the road, whether it's to be a priest, whether it's to be a deacon, or whether it's just merely giving these podcasts that makes the benefit and the fruit of all that other work and effort what it is. I have books that I have published on Amazon. You can look them up. Just type in my name, Doug Samowski, when you go to the thing, and you'll see there's 5 books that I've got published right now. I've talked about one of them in a couple podcasts, and probably will talk about a few more as podcasts go on, because I do like to be able to point out that there are other resources beyond this particular podcast. And I'm still kind of working on getting those cleaned up, because there's a couple things that I want to kind of make a little bit fresh in a couple of those books. But I also have a couple more that I'm working on and trying to get published as soon as possible because of other things that are going on with work schedules and stuff like that. I don't always have the time to work on them, but I'm trying to provide those and get those out. But it's in realizing that in doing those things, I can do those as a person cooperating with God, working those things out, and they become more of an enjoyment, more of a thing, and something that really leads me deeper into God in a way that without those things, I wouldn't get to that level of knowledge of God or deeper with Him. Just like there are things in your life that take you deeper into God in ways you can't even describe or understand. And sometimes it's with relationships with people. Sometimes you're put in a position where you can have a certain relationship with people so that you can broaden their horizons on things that they don't know about, because there are things that you don't know about from experience because you aren't really knowledgeable about them. A friend of mine joked one time that his wife didn't understand how to hunt a deer until he took her up into the tree stand, and she just complained about it. Well, I understand why she complained about it, but you know, it's one of those things. Not everybody's a deer hunter. But, you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you go and you sit in a stand and you hang out with them because you want to spend time with them. So you do the activity with them. And that also expands your horizons to where you get this new experience. And that's part of the reason why we go through life. And sometimes we do things we don't like, but we're doing it for the relationship. And that takes us someplace. It teaches us something about ourselves. It lets us experience things that maybe we wouldn't have experienced on our own because we wouldn't have done that thing unless the other person was there to make it available. So these are the things that come in. But it's understanding that because the Holy Spirit is there trying to work a relationship out, that we can learn these new depths in God and truly grow in our Christian faith. And that's kind of the point that 1 John epistle here is trying to relate to us, that we have an anointing. We've received it from Him that abides in us because we abide in Him. And it teaches us as we abide in Him. And it's that whole how abiding is the relationship. It is the fellowship that we have with God that takes us deeper. Many people imagine that the Spirit in teaching them reveals to them great mysteries about the Spirit of life, and then later makes it more of an experience to you instead of you learn the experience, but through the experience that the things that you mentally can come to understand. But you see, this is a misunderstanding. God's not trying to teach you like a teacher in a classroom. He's teaching you through the relationship, by being with you, by fellowshipping with you. He doesn't teach you that thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not steal. He's walking with you. He's with you in the moments when you might think of hurting somebody or not forgiving somebody or stealing something from somebody or depriving somebody of something. And because He's there with you, you learn it from experience. The great tragedy of the fall is not so much that there was a tree that could take away and bring death because of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the fact that the knowledge of good and evil was trying to be reached without fellowship with God. In the end, if you really think about it, Adam and Eve both knew what was right and wrong. They knew what good and evil was. They just didn't know it from the standpoint that they were already experiencing good, and that's how they knew what evil was, as being a complete opposite. They wanted to have the knowledge. They saw this fruit that was good to make them wise. It appealed to them intellectually and also appealed to them in other ways. So they went for the experience instead of really getting into what it is that really is the knowledge of good and evil. God said, thou shalt not, and they still did anyway. So it's kind of that whole little, you already knew, because the commandment was there, you already knew you were to honor your father and mother. You already knew that you should keep holy the Lord's name and not take His name in vain. You already knew you didn't have to commit those sins to find out why you shouldn't have committed those sins. So the knowledge was there to begin with. And this is how a lot of people misunderstand. They think God's just teaching them something from afar. That's why when they go to church and they're in a service like the Mass, it becomes something of a drudgery. It's the obligation instead of the responsibility of the relationship, and it's taken in such a way that there's no benefit back to you. Instead of going to a mass and realizing that you're really worshiping God and understanding what you're receiving at different spots, because there's different graces that are given at different points in the mass. Take the opening, for instance. You're being welcomed into the presence of God. Do you really think about that? Do you really understand that when it happens? Most people don't. They just see a whole bunch of formality where they make the sign of the cross, they hear this greeting, and then they go straight into this confession of faith. During the confession of faith, do you really realize your fault with God and how great of a grace it is to be in His presence in that service? Or do you, when they do the rite of the sprinkling of water instead of the confessions of sin, do you really understand how your baptism brings you in, that it's an act of grace that brings you into the presence of God? You're not just there just because you showed up. I mean, there's a difference there between understanding the experience and understanding what's really going on in the moment. And that's something that a lot of people kind of miss, is they go through and just do the form. They had the form of godliness, but they denied the true power thereof, as one scripture would declare. And that's because we get the form down. We get the formula down. We get the external look of it down. But we really fail to really abide in Christ and make it a relationship, to really take something out of it. They go up, they receive communion, and it's like just something else that they did. They don't really take the time to really grasp that what they're receiving is God in that host, in that wine, in those elements that they're partaking of, and that they're really fellowshipping with everybody else in that building that's doing the exact same thing, and doing it with everybody around the globe who does that exact same act. Doesn't that change the way you understand the sacrament if you really get that perspective? It's not just me going up there receiving communion because it's my right. It's me going up and receiving communion because I recognize God and others in it that I'm truly relating to in a proper way. It changes everything about how you receive and how you move through a particular part and parcel of the sacrament. And this is what a lot of people just kind of miss when they don't understand the true blessedness of the sacrament and how it's to be understood for them. So we move forward with these things, and we really get to understand that all true spiritual realities come to us when we understand how to abide in Christ. This is why we must live and experience truth in order to truly know it, and to truly know it from the standpoint of being a branch on the vine. Life fellowship with Jesus is the only school in which anything that comes to us from above, from heaven, can truly be known. Because like was said in John chapter 13, verse 7, what do I know but that is something that is not of an experience? Jesus basically says, what I do, you do not know, but you shall know it hereafter, because you learn it from experience. You learn it firsthand. You learn it by doing. It's the law of the kingdom that in order to truly be a Christian, you have to live it out. You have to experience it. You don't receive because you comprehend, because you have to take that step of faith. It's kind of like what St. Augustine once said, or I think it was St. Augustine. It was one of the early saints. I'm going to leave it there. That he said that faith is understanding reason, kind of paraphrasing it. I think I'm saying it completely wrong, but it's basically faith is all about understanding what we understand. It's coming to know what we understand. It's rationalizing what it is by experience. We know that God exists. We have this understanding that He exists from an external understanding of what define things are and how rationally things happen from a very philosophical point of view. But if we never get into a relationship, if we never really get to know God, He's always external. He's always something else. And we don't have that blessed assurance that comes from a relationship that takes us deeper. So we have to kind of accept and take that step of faith first in order to go deeper, because as His Word abides in us, as we begin to walk in this relationship, we really get to experience truth as it's meant to be. In fact, a true disciple is someone who follows the Lord before he fully knows the Lord. The believer surrenders to Christ and his entire submission to His Word, and basically as a result experiences all the blessedness of knowing Him as a result, because we know that God exists and we know something about Him, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And while we don't always know everything that He's going to provide for us, because eye has not seen, ear has not heard, as the scripture tells us, we go deeper as we experience this relationship more and more. In fact, the principles that hold to how we get taught in the Spirit is the principle of being a branch on a vine, a principle of really learning by firsthand experience. It's that really getting behind the wheel of a car and driving a car to truly understand what it is to drive a car. You don't learn to drive a car simply by reading a book. You don't learn to do things simply by reading about them. You can kind of learn how to read by reading, but that's the only thing you can do by reading. You can learn to write by writing, but that's the only thing you really truly learn by writing. You have to learn by experience. And in some places, as an old professor once said when talking about writing, your experience is what you research and how you research. So if you don't know the emotions, get yourself into a position to where you can really understand the emotions that you're going to put forth into the writing. And this is kind of the thing that goes with everything. This is why God is there for us in a very unique and supernatural and spiritual way. It's living this faithfulness, believing in God's promise and yielding yourself to God, that really moves forward and truly experiences what God has for us. And this, to me, is really what the blessedness of moving forward as a child of God is meant to be and supposed to be. And hopefully you find that today. And once again, if you haven't been a patron of our program, please at least consider that. Go to patron.podbeam.com/dtesh and at least support us with a $5 a month support. Doing that will allow you to get access to some of the additional material that's out there, extra podcasts that I have specifically for those who support, and will hopefully help develop this relationship idea that I've been talking about today, where you really experience by praying the God that you are truly trying to be with. Because if you truly understand prayer, the rest of everything becomes a lot easier. You're relating with other people as a Christian. You're being able to really get a benefit in mass, deepens. And it's a big thing there. So hopefully you'll support us through the Patreon program. And if not, just hope you at least got blessed by this and it gives you something to think about and to add to your life, so that one day we can all get to heaven together. And in all that, I hope you have a blessed day.